Hey everyone, quick side note, Greg here. We fucked up the beginning of this recording and we forgot to record the beginning. I'm gonna drop you in. Unfortunately, we're gonna miss out some jokes. There's gonna be bits missing. That's our fault. I apologize for that. But today's guest is James Coffey. He is a owner of Bean Delivered, which is a coffee delivery service. He is also an ambassador for the Movember Foundation. And we got him on to have a chat, see what he's like. Hopefully you guys see what he's like. What am I doing? You'd think I'd actually edit this intro, but I didn't. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to commit to this now. Sorry, James. But yeah, we're going to hop you in. Unfortunately, you missed some jokes. So we're going to come in on James's last joke in the beginning. But it's a great chat. He's a great guy. And we're really thankful he came on and came on with us. So yeah, here you go. Enjoy the show. Sorry for this fuck up on our behalf.
The hardest day of my life. Yeah. James, you said you had a second joke.
Yeah, I do.
You can save it for the end if you want.
Oh. No, I'll go at it now because I'll be giddy if cool. I don't get to say it. And I might forget.
Yeah.
Did you see the founder of IKEA got elected as the Prime Minister of Sweden last week?
Is he going to build it back up again?
He should have his cabinet assembled by next week.
Fucking goddamn it.
Oh, very good.
I'm going to do one little joke before we start. What do you call a camel with three humps?
My lovely lady lumps. Sorry.
Hump free.
Very good, Greg.
Thanks. He laughed.
I've got one more as well then. Now that the barbers have reopened, queues are so long that the staff have started handing out burgers and sausages. 10 out of 10, definitely the best barbecue I've ever been to. Greg's That's not impressed, good. James.
I like that one.
I liked it too.
James, I'm going to be a little bit unconventional here and start.
Get naked.
Well, I'm going to start, rather than you talk about yourself, I just want to tell a quick story about me. I remembered this story not too long ago. And you've listened to the podcast, so you're aware that we are two men who frequently shit ourselves on occasion, to put it lightly. But the other day I recall the time, it was actually when we were working together. I'm not joking. This actually happened to me and it's still a little bit traumatizing.
This is very early into this little episode that you're telling the story, by the way.
You know what I mean? Like a pig and shit. That's me.
Okay.
So I woke up, man, I went to bed. I was just a normal day. I wasn't drinking. It wasn't nothing. It was like a Wednesday or something. And I went
fucking Wednesday.
Went to bed and I woke up at in the middle. And I remember being real groggy, but I was like, oh, I feel like I have to fart really bad. And just so I preface this, I did not have the runs and I didn't have any sort of, you know, poo emergencies prior to this. So I was like, okay, I'll just fart while I'm in bed in the middle of the night, 3 a.m.
That's okay. We all do that.
Everyone does that.
Yeah, that's okay.
Everyone does. It was not a fart. I was all of a sudden assaulted by a wet, warm, uncomfortable silence of me shitting myself at 26 years old in the middle of the night, having to go and clean myself up and then go back and sleep and go to work the next day. I was like, who am I? So anyway, James,
did you change the sheets?
Yeah, of course I did. I had to do all of that in the middle of the night.
That's dreadful, Greg.
Yeah,
no, terrible. I'm so sorry that happened to you.
Thank you. It's a good support group.
Yeah. Well, I've got another story for you, right? I pissed myself recently, right? Only it was voluntary. Guys, don't look at me like that.
That's
Was it when you were? No, you don't piss in a wetsuit. So
no. Oh well, I do that.
Well, you can.
Quite
that's
frequently,
actually
pretty
good.
But,
it's pretty good. Like
it's actually deadly because you're like, this is great. I'm so warm.
That's
for
true.
4 seconds.
That is nice.
But someone, a friend of mine, had an accident, right? And friend felt really bad that they pissed themselves. They were like, I can't believe this has happened to me. I just can't. This is terrible.
Yeah.
How have I allowed this to happen?
Yeah.
And so you know, they're a really good friend of mine. So I went, well, if it makes you feel any better, I'll piss myself. And they went, okay. So
you did.
I pissed myself and recorded it on video and sent it to them to make them feel better. And then he was like, I'm going to fucking tell everyone that you pissed yourself.
And before you ask, no, it's not me.
It's not Greg.
It's not me.
I'm not going to name any names, but you know.
It's not, don't look at me.
It wasn't Greg, but yeah. So there we go. That was my most recent bathroom emergency.
Lovely. I haven't had any bathroom disasters in a long time, thankfully.
Good.
But I remember one time. So I lived in Sydney for a few years, and we were for a friend's birthday, and we went to what's that Japanese food thing where they like throw food in your mouth? Teppanyaki.
Oh,
they like
yes,
cook the
I
food in front of you and just launch
it. Yeah, fling it at you.
Yeah, so we had like some like miso soup or something to start, and we had a great night. And then we left the restaurant to walk home, and it was only like a 10 or 15 minute walk. And like 2 minutes in, I just felt this rumble. Oh, no. I was like, no. And like, we weren't near anywhere, so I was like sweating and like starting to walk pretty fast, and then stumble across a shopping center, and I was like, oh, this will have a toilet. So I ran down into the men's toilets. All the cubicles were locked, and it was like 10 o'clock at night. There's no reason for them to be locked. It's like, what do I do? Like panicking around, seeing the disabled toilets. I was like, oh, I'm gonna have to. So went in, and they were just a mess, like complete mess. And then probably made them worse. But while I was in there, there was like someone knocking on the door. I was like, oh no. Yeah, very embarrassing. Managed to not shit myself, came pretty Thank close, God. And then was left embarrassed, sweating and smelling of shit.
Oh, class. Dear. That is terrible, James.
For anyone else, it does. It happens to the best of us. For anyone listening, right, if you're ever going to be a guest on the podcast, we're going to, from now on, ask in any interview episode, have you ever shot yourself?
Yes.
So just, you know, pre-warning.
James was pre-warned. James, as you were talking, I saw on your arm, I already know it's there, but you have a lovely little tattoo of the Movember Foundation.
I have my mustache. Yeah.
Oh, class.
Yeah. I will ask you about, you know, being delivered and all that, but I want to just ask you about Movember, because we participated on your team for the last Movember.
Is this James?
Yeah.
Hey, James.
Yeah. How did you... It's clicking for you now. It's clicking. So how did you get started, and why did you get started in it?
A good few years ago, probably about seven, eight years ago, I remember doing some fundraising for it, just kind of on a whim, just growing a shitty mustache. And then in Australia, that's where it started out. So, or where the foundation started out, and it was pretty big over there. So when I was over there, I did it as well. And then when I came back, so I'm back about 5 or 6 years, they were looking for people to become more involved in Movember Ireland. And Movember Ireland is headed up by a guy called Jack O'Connor. He's a fucking great guy. And I got in touch with Jack, who had done a campaign with a cousin of mine where they put the Movember logo on the cliffs of Moher a few years ago. And it was just awesome. Really, really cool campaign. So I reached out to Jack and kind of see if I could get more involved. They have this community ambassador program where they kind of have a couple of people from each country or region get involved to try and kind of help with fundraising and help kind of push it out there and get involved with different groups and stuff. And that's kind of how I got a bit more involved than I was before. And then, over the last kind of 4 or 5 years, you know, I've done it in work, had teams in work, done it with mates, had a couple of quizzes, which were always awesome. Ran a gig in not the Button Factory, the Workman's, 1 year, which was pretty cool. And that's kind of like what I've done with it so far. And like next year they're doing a hike to Mount Kilimanjaro, which I would love to do, but just commitments and stuff is just I can't do it next year, but would love to do it at some stage. That's kind of how we got involved with it. And it's an awesome charity, like it's a great foundation, and it's obviously a really good cause as well.
Yeah,
it is. Yeah, it's awesome.
Fair play to you.
We were able to be a part of it last time, which was really cool. That's real cool. How much money did we raise as a team? Can you remember? You must remember, James. Do you?
I don't
put him on the spot like that, Greg.
I don't know. It was quite good. Elliot, I think, grazed the most, if I remember correctly. Yeah. Greg, I think, the least. But
no.
Thanks, James.
No.
I like that.
Factually incorrect.
But it's good because, like, that kind of competition side of it is a huge kind of help with it. Like, when you've got teams of, because it is mostly lads that fundraise for it, like girls who get involved as well, but it's mostly lads. And you do get a bit competitive with it, like trying to make sure you're the one that's the best in the team or has raised the most money in the team and stuff. So that side of things is great.
Yeah. Unreal. I'm going to awkwardly segue now into another question about something else that you do, James. Mm-hmm. Why are you looking at me like I'm an idiot?
I'm just waiting to hear what you're going to say.
Oh, I was going to ask you about your...
I always look at you like you're an idiot. Yeah.
No different to what James looks at me like. Tell me a bit, like, you own and run and set up your own company. That's pretty fucking cool. Tell me about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, before we get into that, can I just... Your second name is Coffee, right?
Yeah.
That's un-fucking believable. Yeah.
He's destined for it.
He was born for this.
Yeah.
Sorry for putting in.
No, you're grand. It's pretty... Yeah, it kind of makes sense, you know what I mean, that I am doing something in coffee. I think it's nominative determinism, I think, is the actual turn of phrase for
that. Is
somebody's name is John Guitar and he plays guitar. It's that type of thing.
But, say the word again?
Nominative determinism.
Right. Wow. Okay, James, we don't regularly give out prizes, but it just so happens that today.
Yeah.
I actually have a prize with me and it's for the biggest fucking word that we've ever had on this show.
You get it today.
Yes. Congratulations.
You win. Thanks very much.
It's awesome. A subscription to Being Delivered.
Yeah, you win a subscription to your phone company.
Just take Greg's one so Greg doesn't get
it. No. Don't. Yeah. I like mine.
Yeah. So the business has been going about it's just coming up to 2 years. It'll be 2 years kind of running in June, but it's been kind of in the works for about two and a half years. And it started out with another friend of myself and Greg's, Gav, used to drink a ton of coffee in work. And we were just chatting about it one day, about kind of setting up that type of subscription model. And then I went to Colombia for a month on honeymoon. And it was like drinking tons of coffee. And, you know, that was like, okay, yeah, like let's do this now if we're going to do it. So came back, started looking at like designing websites and how it would work and that side of things and researching roasters and all that stuff. And then, then kind of because of kind of commitments at work and other stuff, Gav wasn't able to kind of commit anymore to it. So it just kind of became me, which was fine because it wasn't a huge amount of work, or not that it wasn't a huge amount of work, but it wasn't a huge amount of time, I suppose. And that's kind of how it got set up. So we work with different coffee roasters, different Irish coffee roasters every month, and send our subscribers different coffee from a different roaster every month. And it's, so it's been going nearly 2 years. We've worked with 22 roasters at this stage. We'd have worked with 24 or 26, maybe, I think, by the time June rolls around. But yeah, it's been awesome and it's been really good. Like, I don't have, apart from my name, like a coffee background. Drank a lot of coffee. Like, when I was in Sydney, like, Australia is so far ahead in terms of their kind of coffee culture and stuff. And if you talk to a lot of the roasters or a lot of people who work in coffee in Ireland, they've spent time in Sydney or Melbourne or New Zealand. And it's just miles ahead. Yeah, it's. I was watching, there was like a London Coffee Festival thing was on Friday or last week, and they were talking to different roasters and cafe owners, and they all so many of them were just like, oh yeah, when we lived in Melbourne or when we lived in Sydney or when we lived in Auckland, and it's just so far ahead of where we are. But Ireland is getting so much better, like, you know, places like the Fat Fox near you guys who are doing an awesome job at what they do, and there's just really great kind of cafes and roasters popping up all over the place.
Yeah, is there any reason why it's so Australia is such a trailblazer?
I don't know. I think they just kind of like, they love that outdoor lifestyle. So there's a lot more, I suppose, early mornings over there. So you're getting up, like, people just seem to get up so much earlier over there. And like, they're, whether they're going to the gym or swimming or surfing or whatever, like having a coffee before or after was kind of pretty much essential. Whereas here, I think not as many of us get up to exercise early or do stuff early. Well, I mean, it's dark most of the time anyway, but like it's also cold and wet. Whereas if you wake up in Sydney at 6 o'clock in the morning, it's sunny, it's probably like 25, 30 degrees. Genuine, so you can get out and do it. Like, so that, I think that's kind of made a big difference to their kind of lifestyle. But yeah, I don't know if there's a real reason why they are. Cause I mean, they get their coffee from the same place as we do. They don't grow it in Australia. So they get it from South America or Central America or Africa or Asia. So yeah, there's no real reason why they should be ahead of Ireland or Europe in terms of the way they have their coffee, but they just are.
Yeah. Unreal. Any question? I'm just going to confer with my partner.
I suppose when you say that so much further ahead, in what sense, like with coffee, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so
flat,
I think...
Flat White is from there, right?
Yeah. So Brock, who owns Badger and Dodo, I think he claims to have brought the first Flat White to Ireland about 12 years ago. Maybe a little bit, cool. a little bit more. Yeah. But that's from there. They're ahead in that, like, so over here you've kind of got two different types of coffee shop, right? Or maybe three. You've got your chains like your Starbucks and Costas and those ones. Then you've got your specialty coffee shops like Fat Fox, 3FE, and those type of places. And then you've got other coffee shops. And how do I say this without sounding judgmental and snobby? Because like there's a difference in the coffee that you get. Like if you get coffee from, like, I'll use Fat Fox as an example because you guys know it, but like they use like really, really good coffee. They use specialty grade coffee, which is coffee is scored between 80 and 100 is specialty, or 85 and 100 is like really good specialty coffee. So that's what you get in like Fat Fox or 3FE, and generally it's single origin type of stuff. Whereas there's other places you'll just go and you'll get a coffee and it'll be like this blend of coffee from four different places, and it might taste nice, but it's not as ethical. It's not as like ethically sourced. They might buy it for like €4 or €5 a kilo, whereas, you know, the specialty places might be paying 3 or 4 times that price. So they might be paying like 18 quid a kilo. Yeah. So there's a big difference between kind of commodity coffee and specialty coffee. And Australia is very far ahead in terms of specialty coffee, and that they would, more cafes would be specialty than the kind of commodity stuff.
Yeah.
What's your coffee of choice, as in flat white, cappuccino, latte kind of job?
I generally just drink like Americanos or espressos, but I actually had a flat white yesterday for the first time in months, because I haven't been to a decent cafe in months, and it was lovely. Like, it was so nice just to have
something
different. I had one, I was in town after a swim, I was in Bread 41 on Pear Street, and just got a flat white, and it was like, oh, it's so nice just to have something different than,
because
I'm just so used to making it myself at home. So
yeah,
it was really nice.
Any milk? Kind of milk or any sugar?
No sugar. A normal milk one, which I don't usually drink normal milk. I usually have an oat milk or an almond milk, just because that's not because they're fancier or anything. It's just normal milk tends to also give me a bit of a dicky stomach. So
me too.
I stay away from it.
Absolutely.
A dicky stomach.
Yeah.
A warm belly steak.
He's from the north side. That's why he talks weird.
Okay. We won't hold that against you.
Yeah, I will.
All right. Well, we won't bring up Elliot's impression of the North Sider from the podcast.
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that. Oh, oh, I have to go. Thanks, James. Great to meet you. Here's one for you, right? Do you ever drink instant coffee?
The last instant coffee I drank was from 3FE.
They have one,
which they released last year, I think. And it's still like a specialty instant coffee, so it's expensive. It was like €15 for a pack of five, maybe, I think.
Okay.
And it's five like little sachets.
Wow.
Yeah, so that's the last instant I've had knowingly.
I believe the answer is actually no.
Yeah, I think that's a big fat no.
That's a big fat no. Yeah.
No, generally not.
Okay.
No. And I've always got loads of coffee in the house, so
yeah,
like I kind of don't, and I wouldn't anymore.
Yeah, yeah.
So. What about
the way everything's going towards a light roast now, and there's not really room for dark roast anymore. And this is really coffee nerd stuff, so I apologize if you're not into coffee. But like, it is, there's a cafe in Greystones that does dark roast. La Creperie does dark roast, and it's actually like, I had one the other day, and it's really nice, the difference, because it's so much more like full bodied or whatever, and it's not like a kind of watery thing. I know that doesn't make any sense, but for me it does.
Did you ask a question there at all? Or
I said,
just...
what do you think of the like whole thing of going towards a light roast, that everything's going to a light roast now?
So, yeah, the lighter, more kind of medium roasts
I actually have 10 more sentences to add, so I had to trim that down.
The lighter and more kind of medium roasts give more of a kind of, like they emphasize the flavors that are there within the coffee, whereas the darker roasts can make it, like you said, kind of more... This sounds stupid. More coffee tasting, if you know what I mean. More that traditional coffee taste. But yeah, that's kind of the main difference. And a lot of the specialty roasters just don't do dark roasts because,
yeah,
I think one of the reasons is that it's riskier. Like if you're like you're more likely to burn it if it's dark because you have to roast it that bit longer, so it doesn't leave you as much room to kind of not make mistakes. But like if you let it. If you're roasting light, medium roast and you go a little bit over, you might still not be a dark roast, but if you're a dark roast and you go over, you burnt it
and it's ruined, yeah.
Less margin for error.
The example would be, you know, like Italian coffees, you know, where you get that little espresso and it's super concentrated. Yeah.
Caffè un espresso.
That's dark roast. They all have dark roast over there, the vatsa, that kind of stuff.
Okay. Mm.
It's really nice.
And the little biscuits.
Oh yeah, that's deadly. I love to get a little biscuit with a little espresso over there.
Yeah.
Did you ever answer that question, James, on your being delivered to Instagram? What's your like a snack to do with coffee? What's your go-to snack if you're gonna have it with coffee?
What's my go-to snack if I'm having a cup of coffee?
I'm gonna ask you personally. Yeah.
A bit of chocolate maybe. I don't really.
Yeah. Dark chocolate or light white chocolate or what's the one in the middle?
Milk.
Milk chocolate, like a bar of Cadbury's
or something.
Do you go super sweet?
If I do, yeah, I don't really eat if I'm having a coffee. It's usually after I've eaten or just on its own. I'm generally not having like anything with it. Do you ever get those? They're like, it's like a roll of like wafer roll with like chocolate inside them. It's a packet of them in the press at the minute that are getting horse through with every time I have a coffee. They're quite nice. They're a good snack.
Do you like? I know you mentioned that like regular milk does a number on your belly, same as me. But do you like an affogato?
Oh, please tell me you know that.
I do. Okay, good. I don't drink a lot of milky ones, so I wouldn't have an opinion on it. We'll say.
Fucking love an affogato, like, and ice cream fucks me up, but I fucking love them.
Affogato is key.
Oh my god.
Yeah. To be fair. Yeah. This is still silly quite, but did you ever smoke, James?
I did, yeah.
Did you ever have, I don't know if you ever got this, but if I ever had a smoke, it would, like, you know the way a coffee will wake up the barrels in the morning?
Yeah.
If you have a coffee...
Sounds like you don't need help with that, Greg.
Well, I don't. At all, but if I, it wakes me up, is what it does, my bells, apparently, to embarrass me in front of myself. if I had a coffee and a cigarette in the morning, that's fucking volcano, Mount Etna is about to blast off. You know what I mean?
That really wasn't a question.
I just wanted to tell you.
Is there a question coming at any stage, or what's actually happening?
Sorry, James.
I think that's where I know you didn't have a question, but I think that kind of coffee and a smoke, that was my early 20s. Like, was coffee and a smoke before work or just like starting work and stuff. And I think it still is for a lot of people. I thought they do like coffee and a smoke. I don't know why they do seem to go together, but maybe it's because one burns your taste buds and one just burns your mouth if it's too hot. So like, it's kind of, it's a funny mix, but you suppose you're getting a bit of a caffeine hit and a nicotine hit from both, right? So it kind of just gives you a bit of a boost.
Yeah.
What about you know, these poop coffees, you know, like in Vietnam, there's like coffee that's made out of like I can't remember the animal. But
it's like a ferret type animal. I've tried it before.
Or something
yeah.
like that. Like,
I've tried
that. I tried it in Vietnam. As
it
well.
Sounds weird, but you can taste the poo.
I don't know.
Can you?
It tastes like the it kind of tastes like mud or something.
Taste the poo, it's not going to sell.
Yeah. This is the Kopi Luwak stuff. That's like.
That sounds like the word. James.
Yeah. It's like. It's like a ferret or a squirrel looking thing that eats coffee beans and then shits them out. Yeah. No, I wouldn't be trying.
Yeah.
Why would you want to try it? I don't. Yeah, no.
I tried it.
Next question.
I tried it as well, yeah.
Next question. Next question. Okay.
Have you been to Vietnam?
I've been to Thailand.
Okay.
But not Vietnam.
Because
no,
to me, the coffee in Vietnam was so strong. And then they add condensed milk, which is obviously sweet.
Yeah.
And I couldn't get enough of it. I have a sweet tooth. And I was like, this is unbelievable.
Yeah.
It's really interesting, kind of different coffee cultures like around the world. Like that's something they do in Vietnam is to make it really sweet. Whereas in say South America, like around Colombia, where so much of the coffee comes from and other places around there, like they would, it's almost like syrup. It's so thick that, and they're they'll have it in like a flask and they'll go around and sell like little cups of like basically espresso, but it's like they will just pile sugar into it. And it's kind of gross, but they don't drink the same as most of those coffee producing countries. All the good coffee leaves and the shit stays behind because that's like they sell it to make money. So they're not going to keep the really good stuff. So even like when we were in Colombia, there is a great coffee scene, like our cafe scene and stuff, but it's not as massive as you'd expect. There's still loads of chains and stuff and that they're kind of just normal kind of commodity coffee, but there is like really nice coffee, especially coffee shops and stuff as well. But yeah, for the most part, they export all their good stuff.
Yeah. Unreal. You don't have to answer this question, but you run a business, you're involved in Movember, you have a lot going on, obviously, but like, have you found any things that you've found to help you like cope with the stresses of any of that, or is there anything that you've found? Especially over the last year, given what it was.
Yeah, to cope with the stresses. I try not get too stressed about any of the stuff where I can, which sounds really simple, but like I try and switch off. Like, and it's like my way of switching off is just to turn on the PlayStation for an hour and just like mindlessly play FIFA or something and like stick on a podcast and just kind of relax and try and tune out for a while.
It is our podcast.
But this year it's been your podcast. Yeah, last year it was like there was loads of stuff last year and stuff. Last year, like, I listened to a lot of kind of sport podcasts, so that's great for kind of switching off. But yeah, I think I mentioned to you during the week, like David O'Doherty did a podcast during the summer, during the lockdown 1 and 2, which was that was just a great bit of escapism for 20 minutes every day.
Yeah, definitely.
And you said you like swimming. How often do you get in the sea?
So I went for a swim yesterday, which was the first time I'd been in the sea in 7 months.
Okay.
Which was really shit. Like, that's probably been the hardest thing from lockdown, is not being able to go for a swim.
Because
I live just outside Dublin now, not even in Dublin anymore. So we couldn't go anywhere. Like nowhere. So getting to the 40-foot yesterday, we were driving out in the car and we were like, when's the last time we were here? And we were like scrolling back through Instagram and we were like, October? No, September. September 13th, I think, was the last time we were there. So
How did you find it yesterday?
It was great. Like, it was so fucking cold. Did you die? It was so cold. Yeah. I couldn't feel my toes for a good hour and a half, like, afterwards.
How long do you stay in for?
Oh, 5, maybe 6 minutes.
That's very good. That's unreal.
Yeah, at most, it was... it was pretty chilly. But got just glad to get back out and just do it. Like, I find there's a real kind of, I don't know, like kind of peacefulness when you're out there and early in the morning and there's not really many people there and it's quiet and stuff. So
definitely.
Yeah. I loved it. I mean, I've been doing it for ages. Like, I've been doing it for, I don't know, probably 3 or 4 years now.
So
it's nice to get back in after not being able to do it for so many months.
Definitely. And you bought a dry rub, James, didn't you?
Did you? I got gifted a dry rub for Christmas.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And it's brilliant.
That's excusable.
Well, like that was the first time. Like, it's been sitting just in the spare room for 4 months. Like, just sitting there, not doing anything. Whereas yesterday it was like keeping me nice and snug and warm afterwards. It was. Yeah. I mean, you feel like a bit of a wanker wearing one, but like it's great. I love it.
I wouldn't know.
You would know. I don't have one.
I have no idea.
But Greg does have one.
But you guys have wetsuits, right?
Well, that's because we're triathletes.
Yeah, we're like elite.
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Athletes now. Yeah. I don't know if you know that. But, yeah.
Not sure if you're aware. May have mentioned it once or twice that we did a triathlon.
With the swimming for the triathlon, so did you use any buoyancy devices apart from the wetsuits? Like, or did you just, like, you know, you can get those... It's like an orange inflatable balloon that kind of you put clip on you. So if you drown, people see where you are. But like,
people can see you. Yeah.
I don't think that's what it's for.
No, that is what it's for. So you can be seen.
I thought it was for like boats and stuff.
No.
So you don't get run over.
So you can be seen if you're in trouble and shit like that.
Yeah.
Oh, but that's terrible.
So
that's
like,
awful.
You guys didn't use anything like that. You just went at
no,
it.
No, I just tried not to die.
Nice.
Try.
Just the wetsuits.
Yeah.
It was fucking really hard, James. Yeah, it was real hard.
I'd say so.
Well,
like,
not for you, but yeah.
It was hard for me.
Yeah.
I can imagine. Not like,
it's true.
Apart from the cold, just the, like, it's not a short distance either, like, to swim.
No. And Elliot's doing twice it.
I spam 1,500 meters, so a kilometer and a half there the other day.
Nice.
Madness. A
couple of days after the try.
You did, yeah.
Yeah.
Bonkers, man.
And it wasn't that bad. Now, I have to say, like, the conditions on the day I did the 1.5K were way better than the day we did the triathlon. Like, I could have kept going, but, like, there's no way I'd have gotten through that distance on the day of the triathlon because the sea was fucked.
Oh, definitely, yeah.
I was concerned that someone was going to die. I didn't think it was going to be me. I was like, I'm still doing all right, like, but I hope the lads are all right.
It was Greg, wasn't it? You were just worried about Greg.
Yeah, a little bit. Greg and my brother.
We were so underprepared for the swim.
But the wetsuits help a lot.
They kind of help you float a little bit, right, don't they? Or they, and they keep you from getting hypothermia, which is important. So the main thing. Did you have to stop at any point? Like, were you swimming and being like, oh my God, I'm fucking wrecked, and just kind of tread water for a minute just to kind of get your breath, or did you?
Let me tell you, James, I did that approximately 4,000 times.
So
that's not a joke.
It kind of reminded me when I was in Thailand, we went out to whatever islands they filmed the beach on.
We
kind of get off on one side of this island, walk through it, and then there's a bay and you kayak out to a boat. Anyway, so there was me and two mates, and we looked out, and the boat like didn't look that far. It was like at the entrance to the bay, right? So we all jumped in our kayak and we were kayaking away, but we were like three big lads. So like the kayak was for two people, so I was kind of sinking. So I was like, oh, I'm at the back, I'll jump out and I'll just hold on to the back of the kayak, right? And just let the lads pull me along, right? Yeah. Great idea. And then
not going well.
No, then the lads are like, ah, fuck you. And they just paddle off, right? So I was like, I'm a decent swimmer. I was like, it's not that far, I'll just swim.
Yeah.
And I got like halfway and I was like, looking around, I kind of stopped for a second. I was like, oh fuck, this is way further than I thought. So I kept going. Like, all these people going past me on kayaks, being like, yeah, okay. And I was like,
yeah, trying not to die.
Well, like, they didn't stop. So eventually, I eventually got to the boat, and like, I got on, and like, the two lads are sitting on the boat, just having a beer, like, not worried. I'm like,
not a bother.
Yeah. Could not breathe. There was a few seconds, and I was like, shit, I'm going to die.
Plus.
Unreal. No, that's not unreal. That's pretty shit, to be honest with you. It sounds terrible.
Fair play, though. You survived.
You did survive.
Yeah.
Just. Well, you're here to tell the tale, which is good.
Greg signed me up for a 3-month subscription to your being delivered, by the way, which was cool. And it got me like the V60 thing, which I'd never seen. So that was all deadly. I enjoyed that.
You're a convert now, aren't you?
It was really cool.
Yeah. Cool. He does enjoy it.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't continue to subscribe to him, did you? You're going to leave that out, weren't you?
Yeah, but Greg, you get twice as much now, so it kind of works out.
That is true.
There you go. I was doing it for you, Greg. And do you know, like, you probably do, but do you know, like, do you have subscribers, like, in all counties of Ireland? Like,
oh, yeah.
Do you have that kind of information?
That's a great question.
I do. So I did it last year when we came up to, like, the 12-month anniversary or the first-year anniversary. I kind of worked out, you know, where everybody was based, where all the roasters were. But I'm going to do it in the next month again to kind of see how much has changed. But I think I've definitely sent coffee to every county. Every county in the Republic of Ireland. Up the north, I think I sent it to two. But yeah, we've definitely sent coffee to every county. And there's subscribers in, I would say, probably 16, 17 at the minute.
Less.
At least.
And what about different countries? Have you sent it to anyone?
Yeah, we've sent stuff to the States, Germany, Spain, Austria, Switzerland, the UK.
Holy moly.
Yeah, not every month now, but awesome. Yeah, we've sent stuff out. Yeah, which is like, they're great. Like, it's great going to the post office and being like, this is going to America. Yes.
Yeah.
Unreal.
It must be a nice moment.
Yeah. And then they're like, €40 for shipping. I was like, fuck.
Yeah.
I'm losing money. I have lost money on this. But yeah, that's pretty
good. You said that when you first were starting, it was yourself and Gav, and then obviously it was just you. And now is it more than just you?
No, it's still just me. So
okay,
my wife helps out now and again, kind of like if stuff needs to be handwritten because my writing's like a chicken scratching. So
it is like chicken scratching.
Yeah, it's horrendous. She'll do stuff like that. And I've made some stuff that are like graphic designers that help me out with like design website stuff if I need it. But no, it's just me. It's good. Like, because it's a monthly subscription, it has like a really busy weekend once a month or a really busy day once a month where that's when I'm, you know, packing bags and putting labels on stuff. And that's it. Whereas if it was continuous or kind of different times of the month, then it'd be difficult to manage that and a full-time job as well. But because it's just once a month, it's fine.
Cool.
Not aimed at anyone in particular, but do you have a favorite customer?
This is ridiculous, Greg.
It's a genuine question.
Yeah, another mutual friend of ours, Greg, actually, who has been.
Okay, now moving on. What about? What have you, like? How many roasters are there in Ireland?
Close to 300 at the minute.
Oof. Oh yeah, because I was going to say, like, is it going to be hard for you to keep doing this? Like, is in not repeat?
Not really.
Roasters?
No, 300. Not really.
Wow.
It's not hard to not repeat, but you got to make sure it's good. So it's a lot of taste testing and trying coffee from different roasters and stuff. And like, I've pretty much got this year mapped out because I want to make sure that I don't have, I'm not like last minute trying to get a roaster in. But yeah, it's a bit just, close to 300. It's going to be interesting, like in the next couple of years to see how that goes, if it lasts, like if you know, some people might just consolidate, some people might drop off. Does it, like, the coffee industry in the last year has kind of exploded with all of these kind of horse boxes and coffee carts and mobile units. So it's like, I don't think they're going to be around long term because I don't think they're like as sustainable long-term wise people might think, because we're all stuck at the minute, stuck in 5 or 20k or whatever. But like, if you go back to the office, you're not going to be going to as many of those little places as you once were. But you know, cafes I think are going to be massive, are going to continue to grow for the next few years anyway, hopefully.
You don't have to answer it, but have you ever had to turn down a roaster, as you said, because you want a specific taste? Have you really? Okay.
Yeah, I turned down one recently, and I won't say who they are, but they...
I go on. Only
they, joking. They approached me about it, and I'd kind of just chatting with them because I hadn't really heard much about them. Sorry, they weren't a roaster. They were like a coffee brand, we'll call them. And I was like, oh, where are you guys roasting? They're like, oh, no, we buy our stuff from this other place, and we just like... package it up.
Slap our label on it.
I was like, well, no, thanks.
Yeah. That's fair. Yeah.
And that, you made me think of a question there. Is it generally roasters approaching you, or are you approaching them?
It's a bit of both. It was all me approaching roasters until I would say this time last year. And then because like we were set up as an e-commerce business and a subscription business, when the shit hit the fan last year and people didn't have their own kind of websites or stuff, they kind of looked for other outlets and other ways. So there was a couple last year that we featured that had approached, but I kind of have a massive list, and if they're on that list already, then it's grand. Yeah. So there was a few that approached us, and it's a couple this year that approached us as well. But generally it's me, whether it's ones that I know or it's just coffee that I've tried, or that's kind of how I get them. But yeah, they definitely reach out a lot more now because of the kind of reach that, like, we ship about 75, 80 kilos of coffee a month. So, it's quite a decent amount of coffee. Yeah.
That's a lot of coffee.
And is there anyone else in Ireland doing what you do? Am I allowed to ask that?
Yeah, there is. Yeah. So there is a couple of others. Yeah. So Bean Delivered was set up to just work with Irish coffee roasters. So that's our kind of USP, and it has always been, like, we are the only ones that do that. There's a couple
unique
of others.
Selling point. I listened in that class.
there's one that does an Irish and like a European one each month. There's one that does, they've kind of moved to be more kind of world. Like, they had one from Australia recently. They had one Canada and stuff. Yeah, which was pretty cool. And then there's a couple of other ones that, you know, have launched in the last couple of months that will be doing similar to what I do. But yeah, we are, from what I'm aware of, we are the biggest one.
Okay.
Very cool.
Well done.
Yeah, congrats, James. is there, of all the coffees you've tried, because I think did I start from nearly the start?
Near enough, near enough.
Yeah, I think I missed one coffee, but...
Stop trying to get him to say you're his favourite customer, Greg.
I'm not doing
just
that. I already know who's his favourite customer. It's me. But is there any coffee that you would want to feature again, if you could, because you liked it so much?
Do you mean any coffee or coffee roaster?
Coffee roaster.
Definitely. And the goal was always 2 years without any repeats. Which we'll get to. And then from the start of kind of year three, so from July, say, then there will be some repeats. But it's kind of going back to like roasters that were featured like 18 months ago or over 12 months ago and stuff. So there's a lot of people who might not have had it before anyway. There will be some repeats. If there's one, like my favorite is West Cork coffee. I think they roast.
Really?
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I really liked that that whiskey barrel one.
Yeah.
Oh, that one was that class.
That was class. Yeah. We get feedback. Like, I get feedback most months from a few people about coffee and stuff. And that one we got the most, and I was, you're one of them. Yeah. But that one was really, I was really worried that, not really worried, but like, it was a risk because it could have been.
Actually, James, can I just point out, James did something really nice because everyone knows I'm sober. He literally said, Greg, this next month is going to be aged in a whiskey barrel. Do you want me to supply you with a different one? And I was like, holy fuck, that's so nice. So thank you again.
That's very nice.
He went out of his way to like, accommodate me, which I thought was insane.
That's class.
But yeah, now I have a drinking problem again, so thanks, James. no, that's a joke. No, sorry, please, I interrupted you. Go ahead.
What was I saying? Oh yeah, but the whiskey barrel one was a risk because, like, it could have went either way. It could have been rank, but
yeah,
kind of had, like, between chatting to the roaster, they trusted that they were doing it well, and we trusted them, and it's the one that's gotten the biggest reaction. So. And I like the best reaction, I think, because it was just so different. So yeah, delighted with that.
Any big like aims or goals for Bean Delivered going forward, or anything you're exciting that you can't reveal yet?
Yeah, we're gonna have a couple of things in June to kind of mark the end of the second year, second year birthday. And I've got some really good roasters kind of booked in already for later in the year. It's just going to keep ticking away as it is. We've got a couple of, I've done a few corporate orders, which has been nice, kind of moving into look at some stuff with that as well. But no, I kind of want to get it into a good place by the end of the year and see what happens in what's next year, 2022? Maybe
see what that brings.
Yeah, just sell it or something.
I a quick suggestion for you before you decide to sell it. Maybe, you know the way some companies that are have more than one employee will do an employee of the month. What if you did a customer of the month and I could win it every single month?
Oh my god. But you could win.
No, every month.
Not every month, but maybe maybe once.
If it's competition, I think I know who's going to win every month.
Yeah, no, probably you.
It's me.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great. Like, so we didn't really touch on how me and Greg know each other, which is, so we won't.
No, we can touch on it. We used to work together.
We used to work together. Greg was at my wedding.
Oh, very good. Yeah. I know James quite well. Yeah.
Greg was the best man, though.
No.
Well, no. Best customer, though. Best customer. Yeah, we used to work together and we got along very well. Yeah. Worked on separate teams within the company.
Yeah. Greg, hang on. Greg was the coolest person that I worked with at Software Power.
Thank you very much, James.
Very good, James. Yeah, very good. Yeah. I enjoyed that. That was a good bit.
That wasn't a bit. That was real.
Yeah, not legit.
Yeah. He has a notification on his phone of Revolut, €20. Yeah. Greg Kennedy. Thanks, James. James, well, like, do you have anything small you want to say at the end? Or do you want to do that quick fire question that you did to Tiernan?
Yeah. Well, okay. Firstly, what's your website for any listeners want to subscribe to a monthly coffee?
Sure. Thanks. It's beingdelivered.ie. And you find us on socials at beingdelivered on Instagram is where we are the most active.
Mm.
Class. Deadly. Okay, quick fire round. Yeah. Anything that you're watching at the moment that you're enjoying a lot? Documentaries or films or that?
I'm rewatching Line of Duty from the start.
Oh, that's so fucking great. Sit down, fella.
Mm.
For the tape, for the DAR.
Reg 13.
Yeah.
Except it's on the RT player, which is just fucking
It's just a load of bollocks.
Oh, it doesn't work.
That's the fucking worst platform I've ever experienced my fucking life.
Yeah.
Dog shit.
It annoys me, clearly.
Yeah. Did you watch It's a Sin?
I did, loved it. Brilliant.
Oh,
probably the best. Yeah, best scene in ages, actually. That was amazing.
By far. I put it on at the level of This Is England. It was that good.
Yeah. Yeah, it's excellent. Really excellent.
Another quick fire question. Any music that you listen to lately?
Anything new? Not really, no. I've kind of been going back listening to some old stuff.
Cool.
A bit of James Vincent McMorrow this morning. He's got a new album out in a few weeks or months.
Okay.
Lullaby songs for babies is what's most of my Spotify these days. So,
yeah, imagine it's a lot of
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah, geez.
Class. Some of them are pretty good.
I wouldn't know, really. I'm not doing a bit, I wouldn't know. And any last quick questions?
Favorite meal for dinner?
Mexican food, like tacos and stuff.
Class.
Yeah.
Yeah. That stuff's deadly. So what's so funny? Okay, I'm done. I'm finished. I have no more questions. Unless you want to ask us any questions. Greg's laughing at me now.
No, no questions?
No, nothing for me. Cool. No.
Do you want to ask us what our favorite dinner is?
Fuck off, Greg.
That's another way we were good friends. We used to, when we were in work together, there's a group of us that we were, we organized this thing called Food Friends.
Right.
And we found a restaurant. So there's what, five people in the group, James, was it?
Initially four or five of us, yeah.
Yeah. And each person had a month that was their month to choose the restaurant.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't tell the others until the day or the week of or something. And then you'd all go to the restaurant, give it a score out of 10. And then once we'd all done a rotation, as in we'd all chose it, we'd to pick a winner. I never won.
Cool.
I came close though.
Very good.
James usually won, I think.
Yeah. You didn't come last. So that was the main thing.
No, I didn't come last, which is all that matters to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
James, I'm going to close you out with a few jokes. Do you have any jokes?
I have no jokes.
Oh, this is all on me. All on you. Jokes?
Oh, yeah.
Huh?
Go for it.
Okay. Hold on 1 second.
Nice to meet you, James, by the way. Thanks for chatting to us.
I'm looking forward to getting up for a swim at some stage during the summer.
Yeah.
Definitely coming in here, yeah.
Deadly.
Okay. It's going to be one joke to finish it, okay? What do you call a leper in a hot tub?
Don't know.
Stew. Thanks.
Oh my god.
Thanks, James.
Oh my god. Thanks, James. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not. I'm not.